You are listening to Issues and Ideas here on KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Randall White. The Guadalupe Nipomo Dunes Center is out with a second edition of its popular book that showcases creative writing and artwork done by Central Coast students, specifically students from six different schools in San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara counties who have taken part in the Dunes Center program that focuses on nature as the key point of inspiration. The book is called The Dune Forum, The Amazing Nature of the Dunes. Joining us in studio to discuss the book and the program is Dunes Executive Director Doug Jansen and Educational Programs Coordinator Will Meist. Welcome to Issues and Ideas.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Before we get to the book and the students, Doug, for people who are not familiar with the Dunes Center or maybe haven't been there in some time, can you give us a little history and bring us up to speed?
Yeah, the Dunes Center is a small natural history museum located in the heart of historic Guadalupe. We were started in 1999. Prior to that, the Nature Conservancy actually ran a visitor center in Guadalupe. They owned part of the dunes. The property exchanged hands, and we became an independent nonprofit that year. So now we're currently located in a converted Victorian home that acts as our museum.
That was a pretty big expansion, taking on that step, or was it about the same size space-wise?
It's the same size space-wise, but we're actually in the middle of a capital project. We're revamping all of our exhibits. Hmm. And it's going to be the first time that the Dune Center has anything to this magnitude inside of it. And it's really going to be great for all of the people of Guadalupe, the tourists, and the Central Coast as a whole. We act as an economic driver for that region, mainly because of the project that we're best known for, which is the Ten Commandments movie set that DeMille buried in 1923. And we've, over the years, been excavating it. That exhibit was actually phase one of revamping the center. So right now you can come in and see a large Sphinx profile.
Yeah, we've done a couple of pieces on the restoration mm-hmm. of those artifacts. And it's every time we post something about that, it gets a lot of hits online. People are fascinated by this buried Hollywood set.
Yeah, it's funny. You were one of the few people that actually witnessed the process of putting the Sphinx back together. It was one piece when we unearthed it. It crumbled into a bunch of whole, smaller pieces. And then the art restorer was assigned the task of putting it all back together. And you were one of the few people who were there for that. The project captures the public's imagination, unlike anything I've ever seen in my time in the nonprofit world. We're actually applying for funding to continue an excavation work that we're hoping will continue once the snowy plovers stop using it as a nesting site later this year.
The goal of the Dune Center initially, and I imagine still today, is to preserve the dunes and keep them in their natural state. Does it ever bother you that the public's attention is about this buried Hollywood set and not on the nature of the area as much, or whatever will bring them in so you can hook them?
Well, for me, it's part of a larger story. When you look at the dunes and their history of the last 15,000 years, a lot of different things have happened to them and in them. And this is just one aspect of that larger story. So it fascinates me. The part of the project that's probably more interesting to me personally, though, is there were several thousand people who lived in the dunes while the movie was being filmed. They were the extras and the construction workers, and it was during Prohibition. So they left behind all of the artifacts from, at the time they weren't artifacts, all of the materials that they used, left them buried in the dunes. The good news is they didn't have plastic back then, so none of it is plastic. But it's things like china fragments. They didn't have disposable plates and bowls.
Right.
So they had china that they took out into the dunes and used, and apparently some of them broke because they're there in fragments. Because it was during Prohibition, and alcohol was illegal, people had a lot of fun drinking cough syrup.
Oh, really?
And so there's, quote unquote, cough syrup bottles lying around that had pretty high alcohol content in them. Another thing that we find a lot of is tobacco tins, the metal containers that people store tobacco in. And so between the tobacco tins and the cough syrup bottles, I think they were having a pretty good time out there making the movie.
When you talk about these people living in the dunes who were making the movie, that's different than the Dunites, right? Who
Correct.
Had a regular society living in, mm-hmm. in the Guadalupe dunes.
Yeah. The Dunites were a bohemian group that called the dunes home. You start to see them around World War I and shortly after that. And my theory is that it was a reaction to this rapidly industrializing, changing society that was using technology, you know, to kill each other. People left that behind and lived off the land in the dunes. And you really see the community grow during the Great Depression because people didn't have money. And it was a free place to live, and it was a beautiful place to live right by the ocean.
The movie set was early 20s,
mm-hmm.
and so the Dunites were there throughout that entire time?
Correct, yeah. The 20s were a really happening point in the dunes.
It sounds like it.
Yeah, you also start to see people driving cars in the dunes at that point, too, because cars became widely available to the public, and that's when you start to see the off-roading grow as well.
Let's fast forward to modern day, and Will, you are the educational program coordinator. Let's talk a bit about the 4,000-plus local students who pass through the center each year.
Yeah, it's a really good place for them to just come by and learn a little bit more about the local region. A lot of the kids that visit us at the Dune Center and also go on our field trips, many of them have not even been to the beach. So oftentimes it's their first exposure to the natural landscape of the dunes and oftentimes some of their first visits to the actual ocean.
That must be fun to watch the expression on their faces when they first see the ocean.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those like wow moments. And that's what a lot of museums are really striving for, is seeing that sort of reaction on a kid's face when they see the gears working and they start to understand that this is a really, truly beautiful place and they can take some sort of ownership over it and really make it kind of a part of their life.
How does the education program work? You team up with schools in the region and it's like an after-school thing or summertime?
Yeah, we approach the education in kind of like three ways. We have after-school programs, which are led by Cal Poly interns or even interns from Cuesta. They could be from Allen Hancock College as well. So we have after-school programs led by them. We have field trip docents, which are members of the community who lead the kids out to areas like Oso Flaco Lake and the dunes in general. And then myself, I actually go into classrooms and teach kids about birds, mammals, sands, the scientific process. So between me going into the schools, us leading our after-school programs, and field trips, that's pretty much how we accomplish our education. And so the Dune Forum, this program was something we tackled through our after-school programming.
And the first book was published in 2013?
Yeah, we piloted the program in 2013. Mm-hmm. And it's named the Dune Forum after the publication that the Dunites originally published. Their original publication included arts and culture and politics and things about the celestial, mythical things, you know.
So there's a little history right in the title of the book.
Correct, yeah. And it's an example of how, you know, there were actually good things that came out of the downturn in the economy. I was hired by the Dune Center in 2012, and the number of kids participating in our programs had plummeted. Mm. And so as somebody with a background in the humanities, I looked at the existing Dune Center programming and thought, okay, they're really good for kids who like science, but maybe not so much for kids who like anything else. And so I thought there's got to be a way to teach about nature using art. Initially, the title of the book was intended to be something that a kid had come up with, but as you can tell by the subtitles, those were the suggestions the kids gave us.
So the subtitles you're referring to, the first book is The Dune Forum, Nature is Full of Children and Animals, and Don't Forget the Plants Too. And then the current book, the book that was just released, is The Dune Forum, The Amazing Nature of the Dunes.
Yeah, so the subtitles were submitted by children in our programs, and we thought, you know, if we name it The Dune Forum, there'll be consistency between volumes. The other thing that's unique about this program and somewhat radical for the museum world is we partner with non-traditional partners. So, for example, a lot of the work in those books were produced by children who live in the People's Self-Help Housing Complex in Guadalupe called Riverview Townhomes. And instead of trying to get the kids to come to us, we took the program to the kids. Huh? And it worked out really well. They have a great setup for the kids to participate in the program. They were very supportive. And they provided the classroom organization skills that maybe our interns weren't so great at. And so it turned out to be a really beneficial relationship. The first volume was mostly written work. We took kids out into the dunes and we gave them notebooks and they wrote poems and stories that inspired them. And what we noticed were there were some really incredible doodles in the margins. And so if you flip through the first volume, you'll actually see images on lined notebook paper that we took from the kids' doodles. And those doodles were incredible. You could differentiate between the different bird species by what the kids, you know, drawings were so great you could tell what bird they are. So what we did with the second volume is we actually played with that and incorporated art into the writing. And so the second volume is a very colorful book that contains not only the written work, but illustrations that go with them as well.
Speaking of the students, we have some sound from some of those included in this newest edition of the book. Let's hear from them.
My name is Esmeralda Rangel, and I'm in fourth grade, and I'm 10 years old. The birds have beak. They also have feathers. They also have claws that birds was swimming, and its name is American Coot.
Ducks go quack, quackity quack. They hatch from a little egg, and they like to beg. They like to swim all the time. Their mommies like to teach them how to swim. When then they grow, catch their food. Ducks are yellow, white, green, orange, and that's how they become real life ducks.
Like you could draw the bird's face, you could draw it with their mouth open or their bones. Those are different types of birds. Like those are the birds that are in the water, and then one of them is on shore.
When you hear them talk about their experience working on the book, how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel like it reminds me of myself, actually, because when I was a kid, I learned a lot about nature through drawing it. I was pretty much an artist from day one. So in my experience, when I see that happening to a kid also, it makes me think they could be on a similar career path that I took. So I started out, you know, drawing nature and getting really into the sciences. When I attended Cal Poly, that's where I started to hone those skills. And then when I see them doing their drawings too, it kind of, or speaking about what they wrote about, it also just kind of makes me think that this is a person who could become an environmental steward. And it makes me really happy to know that I've been involved in that process of facilitating, you know, environmental stewards, the next generation of environmental stewards.
Yeah. So. Well, the books are The Dune Forum, Edition 1 and Edition 2. Edition 2 just recently released. It's the Guadalupe Nipomo Dunes Center Executive Director Doug Jansen and Educational Programs Coordinator Will Meist. Thank you so much for being on Issues and Ideas today.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
And you are listening to Issues and Ideas here on KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Randall White.